All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to be talking about fall transition. But before we go into that.
No, not transition, just fall fishing. We already did transition.
Oh yeah, fall fishing.
Dude, look how old that kid was. It was like 2 weeks ago. He's like, we're fall transition. Wait a minute. Wait, yeah, like, somebody got me a beer.
I'm still transitioning.
Anybody
for another day.
Anybody got me a beer?
No,
I'm transitioning.
Fall fishing.
Pretty soon we're going to call him Brad Alina.
Okay, shut it. All right. So this sounds like the debate.
That was awesome.
No, he's a lie. That's a lie.
Lie.
Fall no 2020.
So, fall.
Moderated by Dan
fishing.
Giordano.
So, no, seriously. So, we did a next level out there with Dan Giordano. He is one of our buddies that fishes, and he's a great stickman fishing tournaments for years.
Well, he started with George Washington.
Yeah, he's been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he had to make his own boat.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. They were going against Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, so Dan's got a wealth of knowledge. So we did a next level with him. Go check that out. It's great content. You hear a lot about
tournament. Tournaments and go fishing. I mean, it's talking fishing for an hour and some change.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk about fall fishing. But for everybody,
let Dan say hi before you get to
hold on. I'm not there yet.
Oh, he's not
so there. Before right. we get into it, I want to make sure that everybody knows we're doing a FundMe page, or what is it called?
It's a donation. So it's crowdsourcing.
It's crowdsourcing. And the reason is because you guys have done so well listening to us and sharing us and getting other followers that our provider, Podbean, has changed our status to where we have to upgrade for the amount of content, and that's part of it. So if you guys want to donate, great. You don't have to. Don't feel obligated. But we want to keep this rolling, so we do appreciate it.
We want to keep it as commercial-free as possible.
Yes. So, Dan is here tonight. We mentioned him a little bit, and he's in the next level that we just taped a little bit ago. But welcome, Dan. We love having you.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And this guy is a great stick. We are going to talk about fall fishing. So what, Mitch, I'll start with you. What would be your go-to if you were going out on the water right now? And we're talking when that water temperature is typically in that mid-70s on a lake, but now it's dropped that 10 degrees. You're getting really cool nights.
More
and
net,
it's
like all of us 54.
Well, and it goes from 72 like down to 63. You're really getting into that fall transition. But you're really getting into that because I did it again. You're really getting into that fall bite, right?
So much
right, where
to
you're
us.
Getting
we're like,
to
okay,
see
Brad,
a lot of the
we'll
bait
call
fish
you whatever you want.
Starting to float on the top. You're starting to see a lot of those fish start dying. What are you going to be doing?
Well, I'm probably going to start with a blade bait.
Blade bait.
Really?
Are you going shallow, deep?
Yep. I'm going deep. Deeper.
Deeper.
Deeper. Well, I'm going to look for fish, but I'm probably going to start a little deeper. Somewhere 20 to 30, probably.
Find it on breaks or bowls?
Yep,
or
adjacent to a real steep break, main link points, all that. But that's where I'd start to look. And if I'm marking fish on the bottom, you know, just off the bottom, I'm going for them.
Blade right baits, jigging wraps, or blade baits
predominantly? I would start, and I'm going to the next time I go fishing, with a blade bait.
Yeah. Which we need to go soon because I drove by yesterday, and we got
the
good water.
The water's
still
filling. Yeah, it's filling up good. How about you, Dan?
Shiver minnow for me.
Yep, going shiver minnow. Yeah. Now, what if you're on a lake, let's say, that it bottoms out at like 55, 60 feet, something that's next to our house,
okay.
I mean, a lake that we fish all the time, where are you going to try to find those fish?
I start shallow. So I'll start up in that.
Casting them,
exactly. Up in 10 feet, work them out, try to figure out where they're at. Mm-hmm. But I predominantly start shallow.
And when do you ever slide down deeper? Or
occasionally.
No?
If I can't find them shallow, because it's a search technique, you might seem with your electronics, but if you don't seem with your electronics and you're hitting different spots, I usually don't have that much time, so I'll go out and fish deeper fish because there's always fish out there.
Me and Josh and Mitch, a lot of times in that fall transition, when you're starting to see those temperatures drop quite a bit, we start fishing that shallow, like casting up.
Yeah.
But once we've seen that big break and you're seeing a lot of fish dying off, we start going deeper. Maybe I'm missing the boat on that. Why are we doing
I know
that?
We're talking about fall fishing, but I've dropped my camera down many, many times in November, December, even into January.
Really?
It's amazing how many walleye are
I'm
still
missing
shallow.
The boat on that. That's a great tip because I typically stop fishing that shallow bite. I'm going to say.
Are they active? Do you get them active up there?
Well, that's the only reason they're up there is because they're active.
Yeah.
Well, it's just we overlook it, you know, because I look at it as, you know, that low light condition. So morning and dusk, I might go shallow.
Do you fish in shallow?
Well, at night, in the evening.
No, but I'm talking about, like, if we were going out in the daytime.
No, just like I said, 20 to 30 feet, I'm going. That's where I'm going to go.
Yeah, and I know we've had this conversation. A lot of times we're sliding off to those breaks, main lake points and starting to fish deeper. That's interesting.
Well, because we'll find a hump, and this happens quite a bit, find a hump where the top of the hump has nothing. But you get to that base, and it's only maybe a 5-foot drop, right? It goes from 15 to 20. But you hit that base, and they're all stacked up around the base.
And but you're saying if you find fish there, now are you finding up shallow from that? Are they relating?
Correct. I think they are. I think they slide up and down. Actually, I think they slide more out and in than up and down.
Really?
So I think you're catching fish that have been circulating around and they kind of stop in that area. They hang out, see what's going on. But another technique I like to use now that we're getting into really the fall bite is jerkbaits.
Oh, my God, yes.
And that'll be a technique now that'll probably be starting up here pretty soon is we get 55 down from there. That's going to be a legitimate technique in a lake we fish, Pueblo, in that cold water.
Oh, yeah.
See we do a lot
gin
of...
Gin clear.
How long is your pause?
Depends on their mood.
Yeah.
I'll pause as long as maybe 8, 7, 9, 10 seconds when I'm in the December, January time frame, and I don't make real aggressive jerks, just twitches. Just but in the fall, I'm a little more aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, what's crazy is we would fish up at Horsetooth in the early spring, April, and 20, 25-second pauses, and they would just wreck it sitting there. Just wreck it.
That's hard to do. You just got to be patient.
It's so hard to do.
I know.
Is that like the best bite there is?
Oh, it's so fun.
Destroy that thing?
Especially if you've got some pretty high vis line, and you just watch that line fire off. The way we figured it out is another guy had actually put his rod down, was on the phone or fixing something, and it about sent his rod into the water. And it got back, you know, it was like, hey, you guys, this is kind of crazy thing happened. Holy cow, what a fun time.
We do a lot of fall fishing from shore. I mean, because if you want to catch a pig, the fall is the time to do it. And at night, we do a lot of longline trolling over the basin in that 4 or 5 feet water. So I don't know
why. That would be the fish he's talking about.
I haven't put it together. That's
because
awesome.
You're a slow thinker.
Well, you did the two, so you're an idiot just like me.
Well, I've got a question for you, Dan. So fishing with you and your dad, you know, in a lot of tournaments, you're one of the teams that I would say, you know, gets on a spot and stays on a spot. I mean, yeah, and I know that's not the case, but you know, if I was going to group it up like that, you mentioned, you know, the fish cycling through or whatever. So that, you know, that's theory that I have too, that no, this is a good spot and the fish are going to move in and out. And it's another thing that I kind of saw ice fishing where, you know, these packs of fish are just kind of roaming the basin, like out at Aurora Reservoir. I saw it and I was like, they don't stop. And it seemed like they weren't in any, you know, they weren't on a mission. They were just moving, you know, kind of like bison grazing out on the pasture.
Okay.
Whoa.
So, have another beer.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. You guys are picturing it.
Well, I did picture it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah.
But that's what I want to see is how much do you buy into that or how much do you believe that's
stay
a big
on a spot?
But, yeah, stay on a spot kind of.
I'll stay on a spot if there's fish there and I think they'll go. But most of the time, we're actually moving.
Okay.
So I'll find go look for those active fish.
Yeah. So you're going to come back to that spot and check it.
Probably. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. And constantly throughout the day. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
No. Okay. Yeah. No, I can't believe it. And we've talked about it a lot of fishing at night in the fall. And that's when you can get, I mean, you can get some pigs. And we're fishing that four or five feet
under the surface.
And just go to town, right? And, but daytime, I'm always fishing the breaks. And is it because we've had success there, right? But are we missing the boat fishing shallow?
Yeah. I have to give credit to, I don't know if you guys know Dave Kuzer or not,
yep.
But
oh, yeah.
Dave's a great stick, and he's doing the kayaks. He's awesome.
He's just an amazing fisherman. I was having a conversation with him one day, and he kind of turned me on to this a few years ago about Pueblo. I really hadn't put it together, but in this fall bite and into the winter bite, he and I agree with him. There's basically two distinct populations, I think, in that lake. You do have fish all the time that are deep. They're there all the time. You know? And there's
like the resident fish that are just there.
Exactly. And I think there's a second group of fish, so that's why I'm giving him credit for this, is he had put his camera down there, and he said, it doesn't matter when you go down there. You drop the camera down there, there's fish shallow. And I put his theory to the test. Yes, there are fish shallow all the time.
Yeah, that is awesome. If nothing else, I'm glad you're here tonight.
Yeah, I just changed. Thank you, Dan. All right, here's the interesting part.
I want to go tomorrow.
And Pueblo's a good kind of lake to use in like the experiment, right? Because what we're talking about
has everything.
It does. And
it gets deep.
Yeah. Oh, it's deep, and it gets. We've had good water for probably 10 years now, and I've fished it from when it looked like a reservoir, which looked like a river flowing through it, basically, because it was so low, all the way up to where it is now, where it's been pretty consistently high. But in the springtime, I've noticed the jerk bites during the day aren't quite like they are in the fall. Have you seen that?
Absolutely. But it's still fun to do. You can still get them during the day.
But it's much slower. If you pitch jigs in the same water, you'll catch them where they won't touch jerk bait.
Okay.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and especially in spring, I probably don't fish jerk baits as much as I should on that lake.
Yeah,
in the spring, I'm more. I guess I'm in my old habits, the plastics.
Well, but they, you know,
the bass guys out there crush them.
Well, the bass guys do well on plastics, and I know they do well early spring on the jerk baits. But I'm saying like I'll go and I'll.
Welcome aboard, Dan.
Welcome to Walleye One. Just totally wrecked Josh.
Sorry, Josh.
He actually was welcome 3 beers ago.
But this is where we're at this point now.
Welcome back.
Now we're several beers into it. Good job, Dan.
Yeah, nice work. But I do notice that they will tend to, even if you're pitching a jig into a foot and a half water, they will tend to go after that before they do the jerk bait or swim bait, even roll slow, roll on a swim bait.
For our listeners, we've mentioned jerk baits. What's your favorite?
I like the Shadow Wraps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not affiliated with any company or anything whatsoever. The ones I've been throwing recently that I've had good luck with is the Berkeley Cutters.
Yeah.
That's what I've kind of transitioned to.
110s.
110s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
110s.
Do you do the skinny or regular?
Regular.
Yeah.
So then the other one that I'll throw, and we all know those, is the Rogues.
Sure.
But I think I've noticed a difference that when we're doing this fall bite, that the Rogues work better at night.
They do.
Than the Rapalas do.
Yeah.
They do. And we've talked about, and I don't know if you've listened to it.
Too. Same deal.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite go-to.
And they troll well, too.
Yeah, they do troll really well at night, and especially late summer.
Especially out over 100 feet of water with a bunch of rainbow smelt.
Oh.
I took these two goofballs to a secret location in Colorado.
Horsetooth.
And then and we put on...
Not a secret anymore.
Two of the four rods we had on Rogues. And it was
insane night. But Rogues are great baits, and they're really good for casting from shore for a lot of the guys that don't have boats. This time of year, you can catch them shallow doing that. They're awesome. But I think the Cutter, we started using those a few years ago, and they're a real good bait. And a lot of things that we do here at All Eyes is we're not trying to pimp a brand. We talk a lot about Berkley Flicker Sheds, Flicker Minnows, because they work. And it's not because Berkley's this big sponsor of ours. It's because it's good. And the Cutters do good. The Rogues do good. I mean, they're good, solid baits this time of year. They really are.
Yeah, no, and I like the I do like the original
Rapalas. Yes. So
I
did
noticed,
I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Rapala. Yes, good job.
But why did you say it that way? Is that how you've always said it?
No, I converted.
You see, I told you, you probably said it like how you say it.
Rapala, and you know what? Because Because we had not one person responded Rapala. Or how do you say it?
Rapala. I didn't even know how to say it.
I can't even say that stupid word. Rapala. It's Rapala. They're like, moron. Rapala. Yeah. So thank you, Dan.
At least they're honest.
Yeah.
Well, but did you hear what he said? He converted.
He converted.
Like, he converted about convert 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey. Thank you.
Remember?
You're here now.
It goes, Rapala.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember the commercials?
Yes. Yes.
It's clear.
Yes.
But I like those at night.
What do you like? What do you like?
The Rapala.
I don't know what you're talking about. They don't like this. Is it a new date?
I didn't do that on purpose.
Yeah, the 11. The size 11. And I actually really like, you know, my favorite's always silver and black. But the one with the chartreuse back is pretty solid.
So jerkbait rods, what are you using?
I'm using 6.8, 6.10, medium.
Oh, geez, you're going long.
Yep, and fast action tips.
Actually, I use about the same. So I don't
know. Yeah, I use a 6.6.
We like both use 6.6.
6.6 fast action. I mean, I think the
well,
key,
but you guys use your jigging rods.
I will use those as jigging rods. Yeah, but they are definitely for casting our jerkbaits. I mean, that's why we have them, and I'll use them for jigging also. But they're a fantastic. The fast tip is amazing. You barely have to move that rod tip, and you're getting a great jerk action out of it.
I do have one rod that I use for jerkbaits, and it's actually a medium light, but it's actually a bass rod, so I think it's closer to what we're used to on a medium, but I get teased about it all the time. It's my Pelican rod.
What is it? Is it baitcaster?
No, huh? It's a spinning, but it's from Bass Pro Shops.
Do you use any baitcasting rods?
How long is it?
It's 6, I think it's 6'10".
Is it? Yeah, mm-hmm. I like 7 foot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you use any baitcasting?
I'm trying to learn. That's a trial by error.
I hate those things.
Tough deal.
I bought four of them one night. About 6 years ago.
Oh yeah,
I was like, I'm buying four of them. I'm getting the whole setup. I don't even remember what kind they were, but my son has all of them now because I hate those.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah, I know.
I love the spinning rods.
Well, and it's just so much easier. But the one thing I will say is they do, like we were talking about issues with bird's nests. They reel up that loose line much better than spinning rods. And so if you are during jerk baits, that's where they come in pretty handy. The problem is you know, jerk baits are tough. They're not super heavy. And those bait casting,
to get that magnetic grip.
Yeah, that
mix in wind.
Yeah, you mix in wind and stuff. It's tough. And I don't think we use heavy enough line. I don't, you know, bass guys, 25, 30 pound test, no big deal to them. I think that helps with getting that bait out there.
Oh, yeah.
For us, we'll you know, I'll use 15 pound usually on stuff like that. And it's not even close to
heavy. I don't even go that heavy, but whatever.
Well, with the jerk baits, tossing them up shallow like that, and a lot of times in weeds or cover, they're too expensive not to use 15 pound. And it doesn't matter. The fish don't give a.
No.
You know,
I just go with 12.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why. But
what do you guys use for leader if you're using leader at all?
Do you use floral?
I use floral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I keep it usually on that upper 15, you know, pretty heavy.
And I'm usually around 10.
Yeah, me too. So we'll run a 10 pound regular line, 10 pound floral.
Yeah.
You know, so you have a little bit of, if I'm going to break it off, at least I can. You know, when you get hung up bad, you're like, God, no one wants to lose a lure. But
there's also, no, most hunkers usually 12.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I'm a big on my 6 pound floral, right? So, like, jigging wraps and stuff, you get a lot of issues. And that's the, you know what? That's a, there's two things I've learned from you.
Huh.
Lead, unpainted jig heads, which is great, by the way. And, beefing up the fluorocarbon lead. You don't get, you know, snagged on your own hook.
Yeah, when you're fishing vertical, and especially with the glide baits.
It definitely makes a difference.
100% agree.
Yeah. And I really like, and this is a good question. So when you're fall fishing, you're doing your vertical presentation. Let's say you're doing jig and wrap or whatever.
He moved out of the shallow. You're in the trend.
Yeah, you're going more vertical. What kind of tip do you use? I like doing, these guys do spinning rods. I actually like to flip and switch. That's where I do go baitcaster. Flip and switch, more power, more able. I can just use one hand, fish two rods. But I will go then the heavier line. And I think it's easier. I think I can just do that quick pop as to where these two are. These two monkeys are off the back of the boat trying to figure it out, and I'm
feeling a sense of persuasion.
Oh boy!
No, what are you, make up your own mind.
What are you going to say, Dan?
No, seriously, what do you do?
I honestly fish the same things I'm fishing when I'm casting. Yeah. I don't even switch it up because a lot of times I'm doing it.
You're doing both. You're casting,
and then I jig it below the boat. When it gets back to the boat, then I recast. But for the jigging wraps, no, I've gone to what Al Linder recommends is the monofilament. So I've been actually using monofilament for that, just for the simple fact that there's more give.
Stretch.
And exactly. So you don't lose as many fish.
Do you think that it happens? Because I don't feel like I lose a lot of fish when I do that. And I love the sensitivity. I mean, how many times do you feel that little pin? You pin it right to the ground. And I think with mono, I don't know if I feel that.
You lose sensitivity, in my opinion. But when if you're fishing, now I'm in the vertical situation, they've got it.
Yeah. I understand.
I do love how mono is kind of that shock absorber. Yep. I've always loved that feel. So, yeah, I'd prefer the fire line to feel the bite and the sensitivity. But once I get a fish on, I'd rather it be mono every time. Yeah, I like it.
I have one rod that's rigged with mono, and that's what I use it for.
Gosh, I don't mess with mono. I had a rod with mono, and I never used it. I just never found a situation, so I took it off because I can always use another,
And I'm using the high-vis mono, so I'm watching for the bites, but then I have a floral leader even on that mono. Yeah.
What kind of floral do you like using?
This is that suffix mono is what it is. But for my leaders, I actually use Bass Pro Shops or Cabela's, whatever's available.
Yeah.
For the leader, I just...
The floral?
Yeah, floral.
Yeah, we really like that 100% professional grade, Charlie. We like that one a lot.
We've tested them all out, and it seems to just have a... You just don't have so many issues. The other one that we
break.
Well, I know. And you know what? We really like that saltwater P-line, too. The one that comes with a blue package.
P-line is
top notch.
Yep.
And what I like about the Trilene with the floral is you can get in those small spools.
Yeah.
So they're really inexpensive. And so I can change them all out, right? Because I'll go from, 15 to 12 to 10 to 8 to 6. And I can change them all out for $15.
Yeah, that is not as expensive. P-line's expensive.
Yeah,
and I use it. If you're ever looking to try a different mono, floral, we've tried about everything on there. And we have used the Cabela's Bass Pro brands, mm-hmm. too. And they seem to be really well. They seem a little stiff almost at times.
That's what I like about them.
Yeah.
When you're talking, Mitch, when you brought up with the line wrapping with the hooks.
Vertical or for a blade bait, but when you are talking other presentations, if you're going to use them for your lead for Lindy rigging, I know that's a whole different time of year. I like that little bit looser stuff. So,
Well, and plus floral sinks.
It does.
So if you're using it as a leader for a live bait rig or something like that, you're running that hook right through the bottom.
Yes, you are. So if you put a float bead or something on front of it, whatever, to help that out. Yeah. So. Can you believe we're all already out of time?
Well, hang on one second. So I'm trying to figure out, and I'm trying to find it, and maybe if you guys know the name, throw it out here real quick. Berkeley just came out with a brand new fishing line that is a hybrid, a new hybrid type floral.
You mentioned it a couple weeks ago, and I don't remember. Do you know what it is? I
saw an advertisement for it, and, we haven't been able to order it yet. But as soon as we can get back on the order,
I'd like to try it.
I would like to get a spool of it and try it out. I'm trying to find the name.
What size leaders do you usually use for your floral?
Depends on how many times I broke off.
Yeah. Do you start with 4 feet or 10 feet?
I start with about 3 because if I'm casting, I'm also putting a swivel on there. Sure. So I'm using a little Spro swivel that's – I obviously don't want that running through my eyes. So the longest I'll ever be is about 3 feet.
Sure. Yeah, that's perfect. So, I think that's kind of what we run in that 3 to 4 foot max.
Yeah, and like you said, you break off a couple times, lose a couple lures. I'll go down to about 1 foot before I worry about changing it. And
mine gets nicked up if we're fishing in rocks.
Yep, perfect. Perfect. Do you have it?
No, hang on. Yes, I do it. Floral Shield. The new one is Floral Shield, and so it's supposed to be more manageable so you can actually use it on spinning rods.
Oh, because you
to
spool up floral on a spinning rod.
Yeah, so it's more castable. It's made for optimal casting and with great abrasion resistance. Similar to floral carbon, the all new versatile Berkeley Floral Shield. So offers
the jury's out
mono and floral. So hey, listen, I think it's worth, especially like you said, you have the one.
I think there's a lot of bass fishermen that spool up their reel with floral, straight floral.
Well, but they do.
And
I have to confess, I have one rig with floral that I jig with quarter ounces.
They do bait casters, though. That's a different,
I suppose
it's a different world for floral.
And I've actually noticed on lakes where it's really clear, like if we're fishing Pueblo in the spring and you're in that clear water, happened this spring when we were practicing for our event, I could not get bit unless I had that floral on there.
And I almost always, if it was in my head.
That's one of the things about fishing that I love. You know, you say that with 100% confidence that, you know, you saw it, you recognized it, you know. And all it takes is for that to happen to us to where, you know, it helps. It gets you to grow and understand it more.
And we've spooled up full florals before and had some issues with a little bit of it popping off. And, and it's
hard to jig with.
Yeah, it's got its own issues, but it's also got some great benefits. So we've got away from that like a whole spool.
Well, maybe this new stuff will work. I'm excited. I might do one just to see.
Oh, I'm always trying new stuff.
When I'm ice fishing, which obviously we're a few months away from that, but that's all I use on my spinning reel.
Yeah, that's he doesn't ice fish.
He's scared of the ice.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Isn't he missing it?
We're going to have you back, Dan.
Sitting on a bucket freezing your ass off.
No.
Oh, you have to. It's no different than hunting or anything else. You just have to have the right equipment, the right clothes.
I can't afford more equipment. You guys throw your few, you know, $100 a year at your ice fishing, and I'll throw it back at my regular fishing. Yeah. Man fishing.
Yeah, man on the ice. Yeah. No, okay, pie.
Yeah.
But anyway. Anyway, from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing.
And Hardy, they make themselves laugh. Ah, that was so funny, wasn't I?
Yeah, I got it.
He said pie. So,
everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, we do appreciate you following us, sharing us, getting us out there. Check out our website at alleyesonfishing.com and make sure that you're checking our gear, going through all that that's on our website. We've done a hell of a job. Josh actually manages that website, so thank you for what you're doing on that. But also keep sending us your questions and what you want to hear for your next podcast at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com, because it really gets us talking about what we want to talk about next. And we want to get what you guys want to talk about. This fall bite thing is something that it's happening now, so we wanted to talk about it, but we want to hear from you. So from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, and Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Have
a great night.
Thanks for having me.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.